You're listening to the 4 Point Families Podcast, June 12th, 2014. Well, welcome back to the 4 Point Families Podcast again. I'm Michael, your host, founder of 4 Point Families Ministries that exists to inspire and equip parents to be the number one influence in the lives of their kids. Please do me a huge favor. Go to 4pointfamilies.com and check out what it's all about, what we do. And if you go to a church that has parents and kids in it, you need to tell your pastors, your kids' pastors, your youth pastors that you know of a ministry that could come to their church and at a given moment, just call me and say, hey, I want you there whatever Sunday it is or Wednesday or whatever, Friday afternoon, Thursday morning, Tuesday brunch, whatever. Just tell them, I know a guy that'll be there and he'll minister to our families and our church and help parents be empowered to do discipleship at home. I'd love to hear from you about that at 4pointfamilies.com. You can let us know about that stuff. But thank you guys for listening to the podcast. I'm excited to be with you. It's Father's Day coming up, and all of us dads are excited because Father's Day is a time to spend time with your family and enjoy them and kind of maybe get some gifts, maybe a tie, maybe some food. Hopefully, if it's food related, you can't go wrong. Just there's a tip. Anybody out there that's listening that's a mom and not a dad, food related. Skip the tie, skip gift cards and that junk. We're just going to spend gift cards on food. Just get us food. Beef jerky or something awesome. Just get us food. There's your gift tip for the day. And dads, you know I'm right. Don't act like that ain't the truth. But we're going to have an all dad-packed show today, all about fathers and fatherhood and dads in the news and things like that. And so we're going to talk about that. We're going to start with in the Major League Baseball world. A young man, a Major League Baseball player, missed his opening game of the season to be with his wife when she had their first son. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about 19 things dads do that you won't see in pop culture and how we're going to talk about a few of those and how being a dad has changed over the years. We're going to talk about dads that inspire me personally. I'm just going to give you a list of three guys that I encourage you to go check out. And then we've asked a Facebook question about stereotypical dad things your father did. And we're going to talk about that as well. So I'm excited to be with you. Let's get started right now with a little bit of parents in the news. This is a story that isn't brand new. It started in April, the opening season of Major League Baseball, but it's kind of hit again, come back into the news because of, for whatever reason, this guy's finally speaking out about it and talking about what he thought about it when he heard. So this is what happened. This young man, this baseball player, his wife's pregnant with their first son and is due to have the baby around opening day of the Major League Baseball season. He plays for the New York Mets. He is told that he can have 3 days off for paternity leave, which a lot of guys take paternity leave. I've learned that recently. And so he takes paternity leave. He takes the 3 days that he could take, and he doesn't go in, and he misses the opening game. He missed 2 games out of the 3 days he had off, and so he didn't go play that opening game. Well, he's catching some slack from it. A prominent sports radio host told listeners that he should have played baseball instead of being with his wife and newborn son. Let's go check out a little bit of what he said and listen to this article from the Huffington Post, where they kind of share a little bit about that.
When his son was born on Monday, Mets second baseman Daniel Murphy missed the first 2 games of the season to take paternity leave. And while becoming a parent is supposed to be one of the happiest times in a person's life, Murphy got some major criticism from some major names in the sports radio world. WFAN host Mike Francesa blasted Murphy for missing 2 games, telling listeners that he should have been playing ball instead of being with his wife and newborn son. Let's take a listen.
And I have no problem with being there. I don't know why you need 3 days off. I'm going to be honest. I mean, you see the birth and you get back. I mean, what are you doing the first couple of days? Maybe you take care of the other kids. Well, you got to have someone do that if you're a Major League Baseball player. I'm sorry, you do. Because that's the only thing you're doing. You're not helping. Your wife doesn't need your help the first couple of days. You know that. You're not doing much those first couple of days with the baby that's just born. Let's say the day after you get out of the hospital. But they're allowed to take these guys take all take off now. And I had three kids and worked every day they were born. I mean, I was at every birth. Well, I had twins. But, I mean, I was at the birth and worked the next day. I worked until a half hour before they were born, went across, was in the room when they were born, and worked the next day.
And Francesa wasn't the only one to weigh in. Here's what other popular sports radio hosts Boomer Esiason and Craig Carton had to say.
But now to me, and this is just my sensibility, assuming the birth went well, assuming your wife is fine, assuming the baby is fine, 24 hours, you stay there, baby's good, you have a good support system for the mom and the baby, you get back to your team and you play baseball.
I always said C-section before the season starts. I need to be at opening day.
So Boomer Esiason says that he recommends she had got a C-section so that he wouldn't miss opening day. I don't know about all that. I do know that let me tell you this. My son was just born 12 days ago today. Thank you. I assume you said, oh, great. Yeah, thank you. He was born 12 days ago. And this young man was born at my house in our bedroom. And it was wonderful. And I was there for my wife through the whole thing. You know, she wakes up, she decides it's time, it's going to happen. She lets me know. We're there together. I'm helping her, getting her what she needs, getting her everything she needs to kind of keep, you know, keep comfortable and do things that she needs to do. And I'm there for her, helping her when it gets really bad and hardcore and she's really feeling it. I'm there and I'm holding her hand and I'm encouraging her and telling her she's doing a good job and that she can do even, and that she can just keep, she can still do it. She's ready to give up and I'm there. And it was awesome. It was crazy and it was really neat, but I was there for her. And that is an experience and a memory that I had that I'll never forget. And it's something that she had that she'll never forget, that I was there for her. The kids aren't going to remember. I assume this is kind of a, I don't know these guys, obviously. These are famous like radio announcers, so I don't know them. But this tells me a lot about their parenting style overall, wouldn't you say? If you weren't even there for the birth and you're like, well, I stopped working 30 minutes before, I showed up, he was born, I went home. Or, hey, just, you know, have this baby when we can. You know, a lot of, so many doctors they refuse to schedule cesareans because for scheduling reasons, because of all the risks. Like, what kind of risk are you putting your wife under scheduling a C-section just because you need to get to work? That's what it all boils down to, is you need to get to work or you may lose your status or your money or what. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Minnesota Twins pitcher Brian Duensing was placed on MLB's 3-day paternity list for opening day for the birth of his son, but nobody talked about it. But he's on the Twins. He doesn't play in New York. Last November, Memphis Grizzlies forward Zach Randolph left during a game to help his fiance deliver their baby. And in September, the Baltimore Ravens quarterback Joe Flacco learned that his wife had given birth to their second child during warmups for a game, but he kept playing. Joe Flacco, he's not even that good of a quarterback. Perhaps, or husband or father. That's judgmental. I apologize. But that's how I feel, man. Like, I don't know. I just really feel like you need to, if you're going to have, you know, if you're going to have a child and you want to have a child with your spouse and it's a big deal and you want to set them up for your wife up for knowing that you respect what she's doing and you love her and you want to be a part of this, you show up for that, right? Sure. Yes, you do. You show up for that and you do. You're there for her and helping her. And then you're there to see to me, it's just the most exciting thing in the world. And it doesn't matter. I could get fired and I wouldn't care. I can't get fired now. I kind of work for myself. But when I didn't, I could have. Now, here's what they thought. They said that they have no regrets about the decision. Daniel Murphy said it never even occurred to him to miss his son's birth to go play in the game. And he's had a lot of support from the Mets organization and from fans. And it's just a couple guys out there barking is what he basically said, that these guys are just saying what they think and they're allowed to do that. I'm sorry if you can hear my baby crying in the background, but mommy's got him. He's fussy. But what do you think? email us, 4pointfamilies@gmail.com. That's FOURpointfamilies@gmail.com. And let us know, what would you do? Like, did you work the day your kids were born? Why did you do that? Tell me I'm an idiot for being so judgmental and I need to understand better. Tell me what you think. Or if you agree with me, I, of course, always like that too. So let me know. But that's parents in the news. Now let's talk a little bit about our main topic here. 19 things that dads do that you won't see in popular culture. So I always keep an eye on BuzzFeed, and it's usually to find the worst of the pop culture stuff that I can talk about to warn parents about and to say, hey, you guys be careful or whatever. But this time I found a little gem here, a golden gem to share with you. And it's 19 things dads do you won't see in pop culture. And I'm not going to read all of them because there's 19 of them. But I'm gonna highlight a few of the ones that I think are pretty good. The first one, number one on their list and on mine, is change diapers. It says they even do it in public when they can't find a men's room with a changing table, which happens far too often. Am I right out there, dads with young kids who need diaper changes? How annoying is it to go into a store or somewhere and not have a daggum place to change your kid's diaper, as if only moms have to do that? Or I've been in places alone with my daughter, like at the grocery store or something like that, to pick things up, and I take her with me because I do that sometimes. I'm like, hey, which kid wants to go with me? I'll take one or I'll take two. And I have to change a diaper, and there's nowhere to do it because they don't put changing tables in there for men, but they need to. I think it should be a law. I don't know. I don't know if that's something. There's that petition website online. Somebody get to that. Go petition that it's required by law that every... No, never mind. That's not good. That's not very libertarian of me, is it? Their number five and my number two is showering their kids with affection. The uptight dad who can't tell his kids I love you might make a good character in a Lifetime movie, but today's dads make sure their kids know they're loved. And I think that is a really, really good sign that even pop culture media is recognizing that this is something dads do. And we pay attention to our kids' needs emotionally, and we love on them, and we tell them we love them, we give them affection. I know I do. My kids are gonna be tired of hearing how much their dad loves them, because that's my goal. My wife and I talked about that before we even had kids, where we've said, you know, I want my kids to feel showered with love, like feel like they can't get enough of it, or they've had enough of it, and they don't want any more, because I just love them so much. I kiss them all over their faces all the time and tell them how much I love them. And hugs are just regular. Hugs are normal. Hugs happen constantly at our house, especially with Daddy. Daddy loves the hugs. And we do squeeze. We squeeze each other, and it's great. So yeah, dads shower their kids with affection. That's more common than you'd see. Number six is get out of bed in the middle of the night. Whether it's to feed the baby, soothe an older child back to sleep after a nightmare, or check up on a teenager, dads aren't snoring all night long. They're probably snoring, but they're getting up too, it says. And that's true. Absolutely true. We get up. I do that. It's like once my kids get to the point where they don't nurse anymore, it's all up to me from then on. Melinda doesn't get up. Excuse me. Melinda doesn't get up for anything. She does. But typically it's me. I get up and I go take care of the kids. And if they're puking, it's me. And I love it. It's like, I don't know why, but I do better without a lot of sleep. I can handle that a little better. I sleep light, so it wakes me up, and it's stupid to be awake, and like I just, it's not in me to be awake and then like nudge my wife and say, hey honey, get up, the kids need you, like, unless they're saying mommy specifically, or I go in and I can't console them and they're asking for mommy. That's one thing. But typically, my kids don't even ask for mommy in the middle of the night. They yell out daddy because I'm always the one that shows up. And I like that. I like being that guy. They're going to remember that, and it's going to be cool. Number seven is do their daughter's hair. Now, I'll tell you this. It says there was a picture of a dad in this, and I'll put a link on the show notes at podcast.4pointfamilies.com. But you can go to that link or go to that website, and you can follow us on Twitter and find all of our info from there. But I'll put this has a picture of a guy doing his daughter's hair, and his biceps are the size of my head. And the caption says, anyone dare to make fun of this dad for doing this? I don't think so. And absolutely, we do our daughter's hair. I do my best. I'm not good at it, I'll admit. The ponytail, I can do like a basic ponytail, but anything in anything pretty and inventive and creative, forget it. I'm the worst. I can't do it. So, but I do try. You know, my daughter's in dance, and when she goes to dance, they like the hair to be a certain way a lot of times, in a bun or at least up, and mommy has to do it before daddy takes him to dance, because it looks pretty bad. It looks pretty bad when I do that. So yeah, daddies do their daughter's hair though. That is more common. Number nine is clean. Clean. I clean. Well, I don't clean all the time, but I am a cleaner in the house. Not that I don't clean, but hang on. What am I trying to say? I'm digging myself a hole here. I'm trying not to make it sound like I'm the only one that cleans in my house, because I'm absolutely not. And there are some things that I never mess with cleaning-wise, because I just don't think about it being dirty. But that's the big problem. I can walk through a room that's filthy and not even notice. My wife's kind of that way, but not as bad as me. So we've got to like work and consciously make the effort to keep our house clean. So, but for me, I do dishes. I clean toilets. I take out trash, obviously. I vacuum floors, and I do this kind of stuff. When I see it bothering my wife, I clean up, and I try my hardest to do that as much as I can. And I think a lot of dads do. I know that a lot of my friends, they're doing dishes all the time. They're helping with things like that. It's very common, and it's good. It's good. But like this post is talking about, most parents or most media doesn't show parents in this light, show dads in this light. It's very different when you see it in pop culture and in media. They're number 14, and the next one I wanted to highlight, it says, do just fine when parenting solo. Parenting with your partner is terrific, but dads are perfectly capable of taking the kids out all by themselves. And that is absolutely accurate. We are. I can go out and take my daughter to the store and have a good time and shop and do what we need to do and get back, and everybody survived. It didn't just survive, but had a good time. You know, I took my two kids to dance class today, and we may have got a treat along the way because I just wanted to give them some chocolate milk, but, or because daddy was drinking a Coke and I felt like if daddy gets a treat, they should too. But I did. I took them out and was with them, and they were fine, and they survived, and I survived, and then people looked at us and went, oh, so sweet, and it was great. So it's a good thing. Now, number 16 is appreciate their kid's mother. Conflict is what drives drama, so it makes sense that moms and dads are at odds in many films and television shows. In reality, though, dads often understand and appreciate the monumental role mothers play in their children's lives. And I sure hope that's the case. I hope this is accurate, because the best influence you can give for your kids' dads is to love their mom and show them what it looks like to love your spouse. If they see that, they're going to be good to go. Like, there, a lot of things in their life are going to be figured out and settled because you show them what it looks like to love their spouse. It's so important. And my last one, their number 18 of 19, is put family first. In a Today Show survey, 75% of dads polled said that being a dad was their most important job. 3/4 of all dads polled said that being a dad was their most important job. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. And I think it's a sign of our culture shifting and changing. That same poll said 57% of dads said they changed diapers, and that of them, only 37% said their dads changed diapers. So it's shifting towards dads being more involved in the life of their kids, even at the youngest age. And even pop culture, BuzzFeed noticed, you know, at least one of their writers at BuzzFeed noticed what was happening. And he posted something about it, and I'm proud of that. I'm proud of dads, and I think that there's a lot to say that's causing that. I think I think, you know, the feminist movement on some levels is making dads step up. Mom can get a good quality job and work and make money. And so we have stay-at-home dads now, which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's great. The things like that are happening. And because of that, we're getting, you know, we're getting more dads be involved and do what's important. And I think also more dads saw that their dad maybe wasn't as involved, and they decided they were going to do it differently, and they were going to be there for their kids. And that's good. That's a very good thing. So we're going to take a little break, and I need to get a drink of water and let my voice rest for half a second. But let you kind of listen to a couple promos, a few promos from people that do stuff that you may be interested in. And if you do anything like this, a show, a blog, or whatever, for parents, or your church is especially involved in doing parent stuff, or you know of an event or anything like that that you've got a promo for, send it my way. I'd love to make other parents aware of it. And that's kind of part of what we do, is resourcing parents with stuff like that. So let me know. But anyway, we're going to take a little break right now, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Esther.
We have three boys,
including a sweet little boy with special needs named Hunter.
We started a podcast called The Truth About Special Needs.
Each week, we talk about what it's like to raise a child with special needs.
We share our own experiences, as well as various topics that affect special needs families.
Whether you have a child of your own with disabilities, or you just want to learn more about what it's like, come join the conversation.
Head over to specialneedspodcast.com to share your story, ask a question, or just listen in.
That's specialneedspodcast.com. See you there.
Hi, this is your host, Keith.
You've got to be crazy.
And you're listening to the Retro Radio Podcast, home of the Retrobots.
That's us, David.
And Duncan.
Kelly.
And Lee.
The Retro Radio Podcast, exploring the world of classic radio shows, introducing a new audience to an untapped source of family-friendly entertainment.
Warned you, didn't I? You know what'll happen if you start lying.
It's the place where
new tech
meets old tech and likes it.
I thought it was a little bit too old-fashioned for a young fella like me.
Visit the Retro Radio Podcast today at retro-otr.com.
Let me look into it.
Or there you can leave me a comment or an email. You can even contact me through Twitter or Facebook. I would love to hear from you.
Well, thanks. Well, I think you're just as charming as I am.
We're back, and we're going to talk a little bit about dads that inspire me and guys that I follow online and things like that. They're not necessarily, actually, none of them are men that I've met in real life, but these three guys are guys that I think what they do is cool, and I'm just going to share a little bit about what they do. The first one is, just real quick, I'm going to tell you about, in case you haven't, you live under a rock and you don't know about Shay Carl and the Shaytards on YouTube. This is a YouTube channel where this guy, Shay Carl, his name is Shay Butler, but Shay Carl does audio or video blogs with his family daily. And they've just got, he focuses a lot on his kids and how much he loves his kids and his wife, and they're a major part of what he does. And it's just a really good example of putting your kids and your family first. And they're a very religious family. They're Mormon, and they're a very religious family, and they put that first, and they put the focus on spending time together and doing what they do together as much as doing it well. They do it, it's more important even that they do it as a family. And so I recommend him. Just look up Shaytards, Shaytards, on YouTube, or Shay Carl, and you'll find him real easy. He's very popular on YouTube. It'll be easy to find. Also, the next one I want to tell you about is somebody called The Family Man, and his website is familymanweb.com, and there'll be a link to that in the show notes. But familymanweb.com. And I'm going to read you his little introduction to himself that's on his website, so it gives you a brief idea of what he's all about. He says, "Glad you stopped by. It's my desire that this site would serve you as your one-stop shopping for everything dad. Along with encouraging products, you'll find all kinds of real-life stories, examples, and practical advice to becoming the dad your family needs. So enjoy your visit and keep up the good work." And that's exactly what he does. He provides dads with information about how to be good dads, with good resources about being a father. He provides them with stuff like he writes books. He's a public speaker, and he's spoken to different places. He does a podcast that is the Family Man podcast, and that's really good. And so I recommend you check him out at familymanweb.com, because he's got just a lot of encouragement for dads to help you keep the main thing the main thing. And I encourage you to check it out. And the last one, I want to read something I love. I think he did a good job on last summer he made this, but this is John Wilkers, and he is he's a dad and a homeschool dad and a podcaster and blogger and does some good stuff. And I go to his site often when I'm looking for just different ideas and things about being a dad and about parenting and homeschooling and that kind of stuff. So what I want to read to you from his site right now is 10 Rules for Dating My Daughter for Geek Dads. And I liked this because I've heard the rules for dating my daughter and all this stuff. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm not a gun guy. I'm not a violent guy. I'm not I'll threaten people, but I'm not going to hurt people or whatever. And a lot of things, that stuff's kind of outdated or whatever, but this is really cool because he updated it for geek dads and for the current technology, and even more relevant for what teenagers, young people do when they date. So here it is. Rule number one: when you pull into my driveway, don't text my daughter telling her that you've arrived. Come to the door and have a conversation with me. It's going to take her a little longer to get ready. More on that later. Rule number two: do not snap pics of my daughter and post them to every social media network tagged hottie, or I will set your smartphone on fire. Pretty hot, huh? That's good. That's how I would say it if I was. And rule number three, I'm going to do it in character as dad talking to the guy who would try to date my daughter. I'd say, I'm aware that this is considered cool for boys of your age to constantly text and message all their friends whenever they're involved in a conversation with people around them. Don't do this. Put your phone down and give my little girl all of your attention. Rule number four, I'd say, assume the answer to any text asking my daughter for pics with her clothes off is a no. It's illegal, and you better hope the cops find you before I do. Don't ask for cosplay pics either. If you know what cosplay pics is, that's a good addition. Rule number five, it is usually understood that in order for us to get to know each other, we should friend or follow each other on various social networks. Please do not do this. You can text me if your car runs out of gas or if you need help changing a flat tire, but I don't care if you slept through class yesterday. Basically, I don't want you to be your best friend. I want you to be scared of me. Rule number six, I have no doubt you're a popular fellow with many friends on Facebook and they hang on your every word. This relationship is not Facebook official. You're not in a relationship with my daughter that warrants any kind of public acknowledgement. That is good stuff. Rule number seven, do not text and drive ever. That's all I have to say about that. Rule eight, while you're waiting for my daughter to get ready, I will be looking through your smartphone for any inappropriate content or apps. If I find such content, I will keep the phone, call your parents, and send you home. And this isn't in there, but I will add, and including I will be creeping your messages, make sure you're not texting any other girls about dates in the future, and I will be making sure you haven't been texting my daughter about anything inappropriate. And if you have, she will be destroyed, and you will be even more destroyed. Thank you. Rule number nine, do not lie to me. I know how to use the internet. I've been using social media longer than you've been alive, and I know where and how to dig up all the garbage that you posted online or texted to your friends. That is the truth. I can do things to you online that would make you wish I had shot you. That's not in there, but that is off also my thoughts. Rule number 10, yes, I'm a geek, but that doesn't mean I won't burn you if you hurt my little girl. There are far worse fates you could suffer than being beaten within an inch of your life. The internet never forgets, and I know how to use that to my advantage. Boom. In your face, boy trying to date my daughter. I feel like there's like a guy here trying to date my daughter right now, and I hate him. I'm really upset at this guy right now. My daughter's four. My oldest daughter's four. Settle down, Michael. Deep breaths. It's going to be okay. All right. Now we've got our final segment of the day. I would love to read some emails, do that kind of thing. So email me at 4pointfamilies@gmail.com if you have any questions or have any thoughts on anything I've shared. But in the meantime, well, I'll probably always do this because it's really working out well. I've been posting questions on Facebook concerning our topic for our show, and I'm getting some really great answers from some friends and ministry friends. So let's do a suggestion box now. What is the most stereotypical dad thing your father has ever done? Kevin says, wore socks with sandals. Kimberly says, woke up his three girls late at night, made them get out of bed and search for the television remote. No one was going to sleep until it was found. Love you, Dad. Carrie says, oh yes, the remote. That was quite the experience. That's Kimberly's sister. She also says, nowadays my dad or the papa has a barbecue outfit. It consists of a race jersey, jalapeno pants, and a straw cowboy type hat. It's awesome. I'm assuming it's pants with jalapenos on them, but I have a really cool image in my head for jalapeno pants right now. I'm a pretty visual person and pretty imaginative. So yeah, jalapeno pants sounds like a hot item. Oh, okay. Randy says, sleeping in the recliner every afternoon and letting us eat cake batter out of a bowl in the fridge while mom was out of town. That's a good dad. Melinda says, we'll never go to Disney World if you keep leaving the lights on. And then her dad actually commented and corrected her and said, no, it's, well, you can never afford to go to Disney World if you keep leaving the lights on. Edie says her dad always used the line, I'll give you something to cry about. I heard that one too when I was a kid. John Wilkerson, actually, who I was mentioning earlier, said, I came home from school and told him I got in a fight. He asked if I started it. I said, no. Then he asked if I won, and I said, yes. Good, he said. Tom said, my dad used to ask, why wasn't I born rich instead of so good looking? I remember my dad always used to sing, oh Lord, it's hard to be humble when you're perfect in every way. I can't wait to get look in the mirror. I get better looking each day. I don't know where that song came from, but I know that because of him. Robert said his dad used to clean his guns at the dining room table when the boys came over to date the girls. That's how, yeah. Leah says, my dad is responsible for not being able to sleep in. Even on weekends or holidays, he used to tell us to get up. You're sleeping your life away. To this day, the hours between 5 and 8 a.m. are some of the most productive or enjoyable hours of my day. I think people who come in and tell their kids to get out of bed early in the morning forgot what it was like to have young children who won't sleep in, because you were wishing they would when you're still 30 and can sleep till 10 or 11 if they'd let you. Allison, sorry, it's my cousin, we call her Allie, using his super dad spidey senses to know when any of us were even entertaining the thought of changing the thermostat. She also said, referring to me as young lady and or little missy miss in a tone synonymous with you done screwed up. And then she says one more, also that whole close the refrigerator, I'm not cooling the whole house thing, or close the door, I'm not cooling the whole neighborhood. It's good stuff. Julie says, her dad always said, close the door. Were you raised in a barn? Another one said, John also said that his dad said, Jesus was born in a barn, but you weren't when he left the door open. Robert says, don't tell your mother. Also, every time he would fix or make something from scratch to save money. That was his dad to the T. So stereotypical, our dads, aren't they? It's so funny. And there's dad jokes. And if you look online, I can't share a lot of them on here because some of them are pretty inappropriate for this podcast. But if you don't mind that sort of thing, there are some really funny dad texts out there on Reddit and Tumblr and things like that where people have posted screenshots of texts they've had with their dad. Funny stuff. Just Google dad texts. And again, I warn you, if you're sensitive to some of the content, then be warned. But it's funny. It's pretty funny. But hey, thank you for listening. Thanks so much for hanging out with me for the past half hour. And I hope you enjoy the show. I hope you tell your friends. I hope you go to iTunes and subscribe to our show on iTunes. If you're just listening on the website, that's great. But you can go to iTunes and you can subscribe. Just search 4 Point Families. and the podcast will be the first podcast option on the list. And you can subscribe. You can leave a review if you like the show and listen to it. You want to leave a 5-star review, do that. If you don't like the show, then you don't have to worry about leaving a review. But, you know, that just helps us get traction and get people, more people listening. And more people listening is going to result in more content being coming our way and us being made more aware of some of that and some good stuff like that. So please, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes and tell your friends about us. And when you listen to this episode and like it, tell somebody, tell 2 or 3 people about it and tell them that, you know, they need to listen because they need to be inspired to be the number one influence in the lives of their kids. You can also go to the website, 4pointfamilies.com, and you can find all of our info there. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. You can email us at 4pointfamilies@gmail.com. Do all that fun stuff. So I encourage you to check out 4pointfamilies.com. And thank you again for listening. God bless you and have a wonderful day.